So Esther, can I pray for you? Go on. Lord, I thank you for Esther. I thank you for all that she has prepared for us today, and for all that you've been saying to her in preparation for this evening. And Lord, would you just use her as your vessel this evening and speak so clearly through her? And would you open our hearts to all that you have to say through her this evening? In Jesus' name, amen.
Good evening. Hi. before I continue with my prepared talk, I just felt really prompted during worship to focus on some of the words that we sang just now. And the reason for that is that there is a purpose for us gathering. And I think sometimes it's really important that we just stop and pause and remember why we meet together. It isn't because we're religious and we have to spend a certain amount of our week in church. And it's not because we're so fearful that we need to come before a God and pray. For many of us in this room, there was a time where we just became really aware of the sin in our lives. There was a defining moment in each of our lives where we just came before our Father God and we opened up our hearts and he reaches in with the grace. The words were, my sin was great, but your love was greater. My sin has been huge. My sin is huge. And yet the love of God is greater still and it goes deeper. The deeper the sin, even deeper is God's grace. And I just felt it was important that we just rest on those words for a moment and that you might just consider the salvation and the gift that you've been given through his love. And there's a wonderful saying that free people, free people. If we're free, we go out and we free people through the love of God and the power of God. So Father, I just want to thank you for your grace. I want to thank you that is the sole reason that we are here today, because of your grace. And it's such an enormous concept. Would you help us tonight through your Holy Spirit just to grasp what we need to grasp for today? That as we leave this place and we go back to our homes, that we would carry your presence as we just nestle in to that comfort of grace tonight. Amen. So, as a church, our heart is that we would know and obey God. That we would know and obey God. That we would pursue Jesus passionately and that we would contend for his kingdom courageously. And this week, we really have been doing a lot of contending. Alice just mentioned briefly about the Rethink project that we've had running this last week. And it has just been so wonderful. And it's been extraordinary in many ways. But for us, I think what we have witnessed is the coming together of many churches and the power of God when the churches come together and work in unity. And it's just been phenomenal. We all come from different streams and traditions and we have our own way of doing things that we're comfortable with. And yet, that's all been put to one side as a big C church, we've contended. And there's been an awful lot of momentum that comes when we passionately pursue the mobilisation of the gospel. It's just been building up over the last 18 months, and it's just been such a joy. And I'm very thankful to God for his faithfulness in all that he's done and all that he's doing in hearts across Farnham. And I was reflecting just earlier this week on the what next, because it was quite sad saying goodbye to the team, and it's been such a huge focus for us. So much energy and emotional investment has been poured into the Rethink week, and we knew it was going to come to an end. And it's almost like being at a festival when it comes to an end, or going back to school after the summer and you're a little bit low. It's like, Lord, what is next? Because we're not to feel like that. That is not God's plan or his purpose. And these words just came into my conscience very quietly. And they were sincere love. One day, Alexis, a young man of the ancient city of Corinth, was pouring hot water into a colourful clay vessel. It began to leak and then suddenly broke apart in his hands, spilling the contents all over his feet. Looking closely at the broken pottery, he discovered that the clay was mixed with wax. When the hot water melted the wax, it revealed the inferior quality of the vessel. Alexis had bought a piece of junk. It was a fake. And in Corinth, at that time, pottery was fine. It was fine quality. However, there were dishonest merchants who would find broken bits of pottery and they would fill the cracks with wax. And when it dried, they would then paint intricately the pattern. And so people were spending their money on things that weren't authentic. And then soon it would all fall apart in their hands. But they realized after a few years that if they held it up to the light, they could see where the cracks were. They could see whether it was authentic and true in the light. And the word sincere is made up of two words, sine and sia. Sine means without. Does anyone know what sia means? Wax. Without wax. If you don't remember any of what I've spoken about, just try and remember without wax. The rest will kind of piece together. Throughout the New Testament, the higher calling of our faith in Jesus and the love that we cultivate and give is to be pure, unmixed, honest and free from hypocrisy. Without wax. It's sincere. And for many of us, if rethink wasn't a part of your week, I want you just to bring to mind a very meaningful, the most meaningful conversation that you've had with somebody about Jesus. Or perhaps it might have been a moment that you brought somebody that doesn't have a faith into a context where they heard the gospel. So not necessarily rethink, but something similar. There's a lot of emotional and physical investment that comes with invitation. And for some of us this week, and indeed in the instances that you're considering right now, perhaps you felt quite frazzled or even disappointed with what followed. One of the friends that I had invited to one of the events, she thanked me the next day for coming, but she made it very, very clear that there was no follow-up required. And I must admit, I felt really disappointed. I was gutted. Like, Lord, but actually, that is not the end. She might say that. She might tick the box to say, I don't want any more information. It's not true. It's not true. She's heard the gospel. There are seeds that have been sown deep into her heart, and it isn't the end of the story. And we really, really need to guard our hearts from disappointment because it slows us down and it just sets us off task. So just thank God for the opportunity that we've had just to allow our friends to hear the gospel. And others have felt so encouraged by the response of those that they courageously invited. And we really celebrated with heaven this week over the lives of those who said yes to Jesus. And just on that note, we are going to be collecting stories and feedback, and it's our heart to communicate that to the church over the coming weeks. We just want to make sure that what we're gathering is accurate, and we can't just do that in an afternoon. So bear with us, but the stories are there to encourage us to continue. But we do know that people gave their lives to Jesus this week, and for that we are so, so thankful. We are to live lives. We're to live with sincere love and sincere faith. And actually, when I was asking God what next, he gave us a really practical answer. Sincere love, because our friends are going to be watching us through a different lens. If they've heard the gospel, they're not going to look at us in the same way. The character of God will be clearer to those who heard the gospel, regardless of their response. And the words we choose to say, and I guess more pertinently, the words that we don't utter, will be scrutinized a little more closely. The behavior, the way we behave around those friends that we brought with us into the churches and events across town, they're going to be watching us more closely. They're going to be paying attention to the decisions that we make and the choices. So whilst it was brave and we can be encouraged, be prepared, be on your guard. With this in mind, Paul's words to Timothy in the pastoral letters are as relevant for us today as they were for Timothy as he stepped up to see the church, to oversee the church in Ephesus. But the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. We'd need to get those three things right, and we need to do it this week. Without wax. The goal of our instruction is to love from a pure heart, have a good conscience, and a sincere faith. Through that, we are to be a vessel of honour, sanctified, useful for the master, prepared for good work. So if we get the first bit in place, the second bit is so productive, it's so wonderful, and truly is an honour. Love from a pure heart, good conscience, sincere faith. Through that, we are a vessel of honour, sanctified, useful for the master, prepared for good work. Are we wax free? Have we allowed sin to break the purity of our hearts, only to allow the remedies of the world to put us back together again? Things like ignorance, ignoring sin, pushing it to one side, apathy, it doesn't really matter. That sin isn't so great, isn't so big. Deceit, pride, anger, unforgiveness, all these things will one day cause the vessel, which is our heart, to break, to crumble. And if, like me, you want to enter this week with sincerity, which is purity of heart in motivation and deed, then invite the Holy Spirit now to come and investigate the pot, to take a look around, to see where the cracks are, to see just what kind of a job we've done at trying to repair ourselves without Jesus. And tonight is a good time because we're together, and free people, we're here to encourage and to build each other up in our faith. So there will be an opportunity just after I finish in a few minutes. The band are going to come and lead us into worship. And I would just say, don't rush. Don't rush what the Spirit is doing. I believe that God is speaking to us about how we move on from this wonderful week. And I think he really wants us to take that seriously, to pay attention, and just to use this wonderful, anointed time tonight to allow the Spirit to do his work. Cultivating sincere love leads to knowledge and a depth of insight, which leads to discernment, which leads to being pure and blameless before Jesus. I'm going to read these following verses, and you can just see that thread weaving through. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. And you can find that in the first chapter of Philippians. Sincerity in love and in faith is incredibly valuable because it's genuine and authentic. It's a pot without cracks. If it's held up to the light, it is sound. It's not tainted. Having a character which corresponds with the appearance is another way of addressing sincerity. The friends that we place around us, the ones that we've invited this week, the ones that we've had meaningful conversations with recently, have got very used to what we look like on the outside. That's how we've chosen to present ourselves to the world. Now they're going to be far more concerned about what's happening on the inside. The core of all the talks throughout the Rethink Week have all hinged on relationship. Not religion, but relationship. Relationship with God. And I think that's the message that the friends and the people that we've been speaking with who haven't yet encountered Jesus are talking about. Things like, I've got it so wrong, I had no idea that it was all about relationship. So if we claim that God is good and powerful and in control, but then when a crisis hits us, we flap and we become irrational, full of fear and out of control, that isn't so compelling, is it? It means that our belief and our faith isn't as compelling. However, when that happens, when that storm comes and our friends are watching how we cope and how we react, if we respond with a quiet assurance that his presence is near, despite our lack of certainty as to what lies ahead, then there is a captivating marriage of faith and character, which equals sincerity. And I believe that our friends really want sincerity. I believe that people are looking for authentic relationships, regardless of whether they align themselves to our faith. They want to know that the person that stands before them is sincere and straight in their convictions. Two questions for you just to consider this evening. Is there unity in your faith and action? And secondly, what is your foundation in terms of truth, what you know to be true? What are you building your life upon? In Morris West's novel, The Clown of God, a girl speaks to her father saying, "You have given me everything except tomorrow." And there are lots of people who have everything they need for today, but no assurance of what's ahead for tomorrow. That's what's missing. We can have everything in the world, but no rock and no foundation in which to have peace for tomorrow. So what is your foundation? Is it reliable? Is it sound? So back to the pot with the cracks. On the cross, as Jesus became sin for us, all our wax was removed and we fell apart. Our sin revealed for what it really is, death and destruction. And then he takes away our sins and he makes us whole. He redeems that pot. And that means that as Christians, we have nothing left to hide before the Father because he's made a way to redeem us. We sang those words, what a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. And I've just been really blown away by Jesus recently. There's no one as impressive or beautiful or captivating than Jesus Christ. And as I just come in to land, I don't want to rush that notion of just how beautiful and impressive he is. Jesus is utterly magnificent. He's utterly magnificent. Imagine being alive when he walked this earth. Imagine how you'd feel as you lock eyes on him, as you just gaze into the eyes of Jesus and see that smile spread over his face. Imagine hearing the sound of his words. Each word divine, full of purpose, timely and perfect. He didn't waste his words. Imagine knowing that his time was all for you. Sincerity is living so that he's the one we want everyone else to see. The glory of his grace is more clearly seen through our sins that he has paid for and forgiven. And the glory of his power is more clearly seen in our weaknesses. Therefore, when we patch the pot back up ourselves, we aren't just creating a fraud, but we are concealing Jesus' glory because he is glorified through the forgiveness of our sins, the restoration of the pot. And he's glorified in our weakness. I just want to spend a moment praying before the worship team come up. Father, we do give you all the glory for lives that are being transformed. And we thank you for Jesus. Would you help us to fall more in love with Jesus, that he would totally captivate our hearts, that he would be our motivation. Help us tomorrow to consider what sincere love looks like for us as we go about our work and our relationships. I pray for your grace to strengthen us in our weakness. And I pray now that your Holy Spirit would fill this room with so much light that our pots would be completely laid bare before you. And I thank you for the death and resurrection of Jesus, which means that the victory has been won, that redemption is here and restoration is here. Come and restore us again this evening, Father God. Amen.